The Lord said to him, you tell it so others can receive. Amen. Now, my wife didn't say this, but when I was ministering, there was things that I said that set her off inside, which ignited faith. And one of the things she kept saying to me was, she didn't say this in the testimony, but she said, she kept saying, I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. That thing was about the size of an eraser, and it was growing quickly. And like she said, she hit it, and I saw it, and I says, I didn't see that before. She says, yeah, I know. That's why I got my hair like that. But it's gone. She acted on the word, and the Lord honored her faith. So I want to continue along that line, just hook up where we left off. I've been talking about this God kind of faith. And what I'm doing is running parallels, because within Scripture, where Jesus talked about this God kind of faith, where he talked about saying to the mountain, saying to the sycamore tree, saying to the fig tree, when you read the Gospels, you find it in five places, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John doesn't record it, which I find, you know, somewhat strange, but he didn't write about it. It's probably because he wasn't inspired of the Spirit to write it. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke wrote it. Well, I was sharing, and I would encourage you to get last healing's teaching to, because I'm just going to hook up where we left off, because we seem to always be running out of time. But I was sharing the different accounts there, and the account that I want you to go to right now is Luke 17, verses 1 through 9. This is about Jesus talking about this God kind of faith, but what's interesting about it is the context that he's teaching it in, which has to do with offenses, testing, temptations, trials, and sins. The Bible says that the life we now live in the flesh, we are to live by the faith of the Son of God, by his faith. Every aspect of your life is to be sustained by the faith of God. So you have to understand how this operates. Now, within these accounts, they don't say the same things. And what I'm doing is, when you run parallels, you see what this account says, what this account says, what this account says. Then you extract each one to begin to put the picture of the God kind of faith together. Because if you go, and I said this the last teaching, if you just go to Mark 11:23, you're doing yourself an injustice. A lot of those that teach faith, and I'm not knocking this, they'll go to that scripture, and they neglect the other accounts. And within the other accounts, the writers are saying things that John Mark wrote that he didn't say. And I think we end up missing a lot of the key factors of understanding. This isn't hard. Like my wife got it, she got her miracle. Anybody else is afflicted in your body, you can get your miracle. He's no respecter of persons. The greatest thing is having understanding. So I start reading here in Luke 17, verses 1 through 9. And I'm reading the Amplified here. Josh has it up here. And Jesus said to his disciples, temptations, snares, traps set to entice to sin are sure to come. But woe to him by or through whom they come. It would be more profitable for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were hurled into the sea, than that he should cause to sin or be a snare to the one of these little ones, lowly in rank or influence. Pay attention and always be on your guard. In other words, things are going to come against you. Pay attention and always be on your guard, looking out for one another. If your brother sins, misses the mark, solemnly tell him so and reprove him. And if he repents, feel sorry for having sinned, forgive him. Well, that's not hard to do when you see a brother that might get involved in sin and you tell him. But the next verse is the verse that really throws you. It says, and even if he sins against you seven times in a day and seven times in a day, and says, I repent, I am sorry, you must forgive him. Give up resentment and consider the offense as recalled and annulled. In other words, if he transgresses against you, You are to acknowledge it and forget about it and have no resentment, regardless of what he does, and if he does it seven times in the day. So now that you're about ready to smack him upside the head when he's doing something like to you. Okay, now I'm just being realistic to you. If you've ever been around a person that's very aggravating or whatever, but Jesus says if the man sins and asks you to forgive him, you forgive him. Now, verse 5 says this, and the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. Now, the reason he said and they said increase our faith, they're just thinking the same way I am, because they're thinking they're about ready to smack the guy upside the head for acting the way he's acting. So they realized that it took faith to forgive. And what's interesting is they had to have teaching prior to this to make that statement, Lord, increase our faith. They just didn't right off the bat just say that, because they had to have been schooled along this line prior to this statement. So they're saying, Lord, they had somewhat understanding of faith, so they're saying, Lord, increase our faith. And the Amplified says, that trust and confidence, it springs from our belief in God. And the Lord answered, if you had faith, trust, and confidence in God, even so small, like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, King James says a sycamore tree, be pulled up by the roots, be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Will any of you who has a servant plowing or tending sheep say to him, when he has come in from the field, come at once and take your place at the table. Will he not instead tell him, that's the servant, get my supper ready and gird yourself and serve me while I eat and drink. Then afterwards, you yourself shall eat and drink. Verse 9, is he grateful and does he praise the servant because he did what he was ordered to do? Now, within this account, there's things that are being said that, like I was sharing with Mark 11:23, that Luke is saying here that Mark didn't say anything about it. Now, there's keys within this verse of understanding this God kind of faith. First of all, Jesus said, if you had faith as a small grain of mustard seed. He's using an illustration to get you the understanding of faith. And what he's decreeing is faith operates like a seed. Even though it's small, and he uses the mustard seed, which naturally is very, very small. Small faith can produce big things. All right? They're having an issue with forgiving people. The question has to be asked, did he answer their question or their statement, Lord, increase our faith? And the answer is yes. And he goes through this discourse of explaining it. And the first point is he brings out that this faith operates like a seed. Okay? Faith, even when you look at a grain of mustard seed, the unit, which is the unit of measure, it's so small, even though it's so small, it's still a seed and it still will produce. So faith operates like a seed. Now, number two, we find out that he did answer their question, increase our faith. And the way he answered it is, you would say, increase in faith, now listen to me real carefully, comes by saying, they said, Lord, increase our faith. He said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say. So he's given you a key in the increase of faith. Now, I got a package of watermelon seeds here. We don't know nothing about mustard seeds unless you know something about it. But I got a seed here, and we can all relate to a watermelon. That's one seed. I liken that to faith. Faith operates like a seed. If I'd say to Glenn, I'd like to have more of them seeds. That's faith. I'd like to have more faith. I would like to have more watermelon seeds. Well, Dan, the smart thing to do would be to plant it, okay? And cut one of them things up whenever they come to the full growth, and you got hundreds of them, all right? This is the principle that Jesus is unfolding here. Faith operates like a seed. Now, in Mark 11:23, he don't talk nothing about a seed. He talks about saying to the mountain, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, shall have whatsoever he saith. No mention at all about seed. So in this account here, we're finding out about the mustard seed. So to get increase in the mustard seed or get increased in the watermelon seed, you got to plant it. Now the Word of God is talked about as seed. In the mystery of the kingdom that Matthew, Mark, and Luke talk about, the mystery of the kingdom is as if a man would cast seed into his own garden. How do you cast seed in your own garden? By saying. You want increase in your faith for divine healing, begin to say, Father, I thank you for 1 Peter 2:24. I thank you that who his own self bear my sins in his own body on a tree, that we being dead to sin should live under righteousness, by whose stripes I'm healed. I'm saying it. I'm planning for increase. Now, this is one of the points I want to bring out. The mountain might be insurmountable when you're looking at it. Say it's cancer. Say it's arthritis throughout your body. Whatever the condition is. In your mind, it seems big. But Jesus gives you the key here. Take your faith and plant it like a seed. You would say. Now, the Apostle Paul in Philemon 1:6 makes this statement, your faith is effectual. That means working. Now, listen to this statement that he makes. Your faith is effectual when you acknowledge. To acknowledge is to say. When you acknowledge every good thing that's in you in Christ. Well, the thing that's in you that's the good thing concerning healing is you are healed by his stripes. So therefore you say, you acknowledge. Now the Apostle Paul says, your faith is effectual. It's working right now. Let me say this, to some degree. If you had faith as a little mustard seed, your faith might be little, but it's still faith. He answered their question, increase it. And he's given the principle for increase. Now in this case, if somebody, and I've had to do this, I've had people wrong me. I had people talk wrong and spread some stuff about me that was wrong. All right? And it was hard to forgive the individual. Okay? Because it basically ostracized my wife and I from a company of believers. And what they said, none of it was true. And I tell you what, it took all I could. And it was time after time when the thoughts would come, I would pull them down and say, Lord, you said that I'm the forgive them. I forgive them in Jesus' name. I forgive them in Jesus' name. And I'll tell you what happened to me. I had a cyst that grew on my arm right here. And that thing was the size, almost the base of it was the size of a nickel. Okay, and this is when my son was in high school. And we were downstairs and he was playing volleyball. And he was conditioning for this. He was a real good volleyball player. He was conditioning and he was weightlifting because the kids did that. And I was down in the basement with him, and we were working out. And this thing was sticking out. And when I was working out, it actually popped out further. And I come upstairs into our kitchen. And I said, when I seen it, I thought to myself, man, that thing, I wonder if I got a tumor there. I mean, this is the thoughts that come to my mind. So I come up into the kitchen, the house. I said to my wife, I said, look at this thing. She says, yeah, I noticed that before. I said, but no, look at how far it's sticking out. Now, this is when these people wronged my wife and I. And she says, what are you going to do? I says, I'm going to pray. She said, how in the world can you pray with what we've been going through? Now I'm bringing a point out here. Okay. By faith, I released them. How'd you do that? Father, in Jesus' name, I release them. I refuse the whole resentment. I call it annulled in the name of Jesus, just like the verse says to here. You do that by faith with your words. I release them in Jesus' name. She says, she goes, there's no way you can pray with the way they hurt us and all, and you know what we've been going through. I said, hon, by faith we forgive them in Jesus' name. Then I went like this. Because I was mad. Because what she was saying was true, okay? Because my flesh was really coming unglued. So I said, Lord, by faith I do it. Yes. And I said, now in Jesus' name, I curse you, sis. I command you in Jesus' name to be plucked up and be removed in Jesus' name. Now the Lord's our witness. Probably, what was it, about 10 days later? I said, hon, come here. She come over, like I said, the base of it was about the size of a nickel, and it was right there. Well, how do you know it was right there? Because every time I took a shower and washed my arm, I would hit that thing. And I'll tell you what I did when I was in the shower. I said, you're removed in Jesus' name. You're cursed from the root. Yeah. And that's about the tone I said it in. And I said, Lord, I thank you. My arm's healed, and I'm free from cysts in Jesus' name. About 10 days later, it goes down to the size of a pea. So I said, hon, come here. I says, feel this. She says, no, that's gross. I'm not going to feel that lump, because she saw how big it was. I says, come here, feel the lump. So she goes, oh my gosh, look how small that is. Okay, size of a pea, about 10 days. It was a total of about 30 days that it was completely gone. It got down to the point where it was like a pinhead. I said to my wife, I says, come here, hon, feel this. She runs her finger over it. She says, oh my gosh, that thing's almost all gone. In about 30 days, it was completely gone. It was cursed from the root. Presently, like the one scripture of the account was we shared last healing school, was presently the word was working when Jesus cursed the fig tree. That's what I'm saying. When you just read one account, you're missing these keys about the God kind of faith. So, increase of faith comes by saying, you would say. Somebody says, well, I thought it came by hearing. Faith comes by hearing, but I'm talking about increase. All right? Now, I'm going to give you a little hint of the trap of the enemy, because I was in healing schools for 2 years. I sat in the seats. And they were every week. And one of the traps of the enemy is, I got to hear another message. Because faith's coming. I got to hear another message. Well, here's the entrapment. I got to hear another message. Dan, you're sounding like a broken record. Yeah, I got to hear another message. Okay? And the enemy, he don't care how many... messages you hear, because you have not said or done. You have not released your faith. You think because you're hearing that you're going to have this massive room full of faith. Now you're going to act. It ain't going to happen. I sat in them classes all them years. And I'll be honest with you. There wasn't people healed. I hate to say that. That's why I had my wife testify. I said, you're going to testify about that, because it was one message. Yeah, that's right. And like I said before, I don't want to sound like a broken record. It's like we're going to have Holy Ghost school. And we're going to spend 2 years and we're going to have one class each week to get you filled with the Holy Ghost. It's for 2 years you sit in a class and you hear about being filled with the Holy Ghost. When I see it all the time, give them a few scriptures, lay hands on them, be filled with the Spirit, and then they're speaking with tongues. You follow what I'm saying? So if you think by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing, you're accumulating this massive amount of faith, And then you think you're going to act, it ain't happening, because the devil's going to say, you ain't there. You ain't there. You ain't there. He's giving you the key here. Lord, increase our faith. No. Oh, here's how you increase your faith. Say it. Say it. Say it. Say it. Well, I want to hear another message. How many messages do you hear? How many messages you got to hear on giving? Just give. Do it. When Mary was at the wedding feast of Canaan, they're out of wine. She said, whatever he says, do it. Just do it. And you'll see the results. Now, Romans 10, 17 says this. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now we do ourselves an injustice here when you read one translation of that verse. I don't know if, Josh, can you get the NEB up there, the New English Bible? This is what the New English Bible says. We conclude that faith is awakened by the message. That's what's going on. You're being awakened. You follow what I'm saying? Increase comes by saying. We conclude that faith is awakened by the message and the message that awakes it. That's what happened with my wife. When I was ministering with certain keys, she grabbed hold of it. She was saying, I can do this. I can do this. I can. Then she acted. Because the truth was awakened in her. You follow what I'm saying? So the message that awakens it comes through the word of Christ. So allow that phrase just to resonate in you. Faith is awakened by the message. That's what's happening. It's happening in you right now. It's awakening within you. And the message that awakens it comes through the word of Christ. It was on his lips. In other words, he was the one that was speaking it. You get what I'm saying? That's how they got the increase. It was from his lips saying. He was preaching the message. Now listen to what Ephesians 4:15 says. Now I'm bringing a principle out here. Because some of these things, as we go along, I'll explain them. Ephesians 4:15 says this, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things. Growing up depicts increase. Okay? Lord, increase our faith. Paul says here, Paul had the greatest revelation of it, but speaking, you would say. Now, in this context here, it's talking about speaking the truth, which is the word. We can read it this way. But speaking the word in love, because your faith works by love, may grow up in him in all things. Lord, I want to grow up in you in the area of faith. Speaking, you would say. Yeah. I'm trying to get you out of the trap of thinking you got to hear. I got boxes of tapes at home. Okay? If you're having a problem and you're finding yourself staggering at the promise of God, which the Apostle Paul writes about Abraham, Abraham staggered not. So there can be a staggering. A staggering is, I don't know if I can believe that. If you find yourself staggering, it's a good thing. Because you recognize that you're staggering at it. I'm having a hard time believing this. Lord, increase my faith in this area. You would say, In other words, I'm having a hard time believing you as provider. Speaking the truth, speaking the word, you'll grow up in Him, in what? In all things. In all things. Lord, I'm having a hard time with this baptism of the Holy Ghost. Speak the word concerning the promises of the Holy Ghost, and you'll have the increase of faith to receive the Holy Ghost. If you have a hard issue in the area of God's protection, begin to speak Psalm 91. And you'll grow up in Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So Paul's got a principle going here. Remember, the righteousness of faith speaketh on this wise. Notice the speaking is there before it's in the heart of an individual. It's always produced. It started from the mouth of Jesus. The word has to be vocalized for the awakening to come within your heart. How many times do you have to be awakened before you act? See, when I minister to getting results. You follow what I'm saying? If you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, we'll get you filled with the Holy Ghost. And that's probably one of the best examples to use in front of a congregation, because you work the word, lay your hands on them, get them filled with the Holy Ghost, and you get working on the action of the tongue that caused the manifestation of the utterance to come forth. I mean, then you walk out and you say, mission accomplished. Okay, people think, well, you're like a spiritual guru. You're not a spiritual guru. You just have an understanding of something that somebody else doesn't. This happened to me. We had a group of individuals. My wife and I headed a prayer team up. And every Sunday and every Wednesday night and Sunday night, we ministered to get people filled with the Spirit and saved. And there was some of the group didn't want to minister the baptism. Now, the reason they didn't want to minister the baptism was they didn't have confidence in it. They lacked the understanding. And actually, the one girl, I tell you what, the Lord called her into this ministry, and she got very frustrated because she would come to our houses. We had classes in our home for about 3 years, and we would teach them how to get people filled and healed and what have you. But this woman, there was a couple there, and I knew God had their hands on them, and God was pushing them into this ministry. And she was getting very frustrated. So I ministered on the baptism of the Holy Ghost with an individual. She said, Dan, we tried praying for this individual, and they failed to get to receive. So then I took over at the one Sunday service. So I said to her, I says, watch what I do. Showed her what I did with boldness. Prayed with the guy, laid hands on him. I said, be filled with the Spirit. He started speaking in other tongues. Power of God hit him. He went down on the floor, and her eyes got that big. And I want to tell you, the next Sunday, you should have seen her. She did the same thing I did. Amen. The difference, she had the understanding. That's the only difference. The only difference. Now watch what Solomon says in Proverbs 18:20. Is it up there, Josh? 18:20. Yeah, here it is. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase. And with the increase, you walk out of here and all you hear me say, with the increase. But I want to tell you something. This will brand us in your consciousness. And with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Amen. All right. Filled with what? Filled with whatever you want. Lord, increase my faith. I want to be filled with faith. Well, your belly, that's your innermost being, your inner man, will be satisfied with the fruit of your mouth. Now here's the key. And with the increase of your lips, Jesus said you would say, Lord, increase our faith. You would say, Solomon's saying here, with the increase of your lips, you're going to be filled. Filled with healing, filled with prosperity, filled with soundness of mind, filled with peace, filled with protection in your life, filled with faith by the increase of your lips. Now watch what Paul says in Ephesians here. Ephesians 5, 17 through 19. It says, wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding. Say, I'm wise. I'm getting understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking. Let that just resonate in you. Speaking. You want to fill with the Holy Ghost? Or constantly be being filled? Speaking. Speaking what? To yourself. Lord, increase our faith. You would say. You would say, you would say, you would say, you would say if you want to increase. Paul's saying here that to be filled with the Spirit, you got to speak. Speak what? Speak to yourself. In what? Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in where? In your heart. Now, this has to do with being filled with the Spirit. Constantly being full. I'm bringing a principle out here. Speaking. Speaking. You know, I've heard a lot of the criticism where the message of faith has come under a lot of fire. And sometimes I wonder if they even read the Bible, the people that are making comments about this, just say it, name it, claim it, decree it. And they mock it. And it's all through the Bible. It's all through the Bible. So how are you filled with the Spirit? Speak. Now these psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melodies, they're from the unction of the Holy Ghost. Pastor Keith, last Sunday, we had a little move of that going on. Speaking forth in psalms. That's how you're filled with the Spirit to overflow. It's no different to being filled with faith to overflowing, you would say. You would say. Now let's look at Jude 20. Still looking at this principle. But ye, beloved, you got it there yet, Josh? Jude 20? That's not the 20th verse. That's 25. Jude 20 says this. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Notice building up depicts increase. You're building yourself up. If you want yourself built up in faith, increased, you would what? Say. You would say. I can't say it for you. That's why when I minister to people, I always get them to start saying. You're building yourself up on your what? Most holy faith. Now, Jude is giving you a key here, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, what I want to do is I want to extract the principle out of this verse. Instead of saying praying, we'll say this. But ye beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, saying in the Holy Ghost. When you speak in tongues, it's the Holy Ghost giving you the utterance, but you're speaking. All right, you're speaking. It's in an unknown language. Lord, increase our faith. Lord, I thank you that by his stripes I'm healed. I thank you that Christ has redeemed me from the curse. I'm speaking English here. What Jude is saying, if you want to build yourself up on your most holy faith, regardless of what area it is that you're trusting God for, he gives you a principle here about praying in the Spirit. But I like to say it this way so you get it. You're saying things in an unknown tongue. Follow what I'm saying? If I sat here and I did it all week to build myself up for this, I got to minister. And I got to minister things to get you to act, to get what you need. So I build myself up praying in tongues. I'm saying divine secrets inspired by the Holy Ghost coming through me. The point I'm bringing out and the principle is I'm saying. You getting it? Increase of faith comes by saying. Faith is awakened when you hear the message. But you want to increase, you got to start saying. And if you ain't see the person's mouth going into operation, especially when you minister to them concerning healing, if they're not saying stuff, the Father has nothing to create. Remember that verse in Isaiah, I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him that's far off, to him that's near. And I'd heal him. And the context is, I create the fruit of lips. Got to say. So, we find out that faith operates like a seed. Even though it's a small unit of measure, it's still faith. It's still a seed. Plant it. It'll grow. Increase of faith comes by saying. Now, another key point in this account is, you must say to the sycamore tree. Jesus said you would say to the sycamore tree, the specific problem that you're dealing with. If it's arthritis, start talking to it. Sit there. Somebody comes in the room and hears you talking to it, and they say, what are you doing? Say, I'm talking to this arthritis. Oh, yeah? Yeah. What are you saying to it? I said, I deny its right to stay in me. I command it to go in the name of Jesus. Okay? So you start doing that. Presently, it begins to work because you begin to acknowledge every good thing that's in you in Christ. Paul says your faith is working. Yeah. It's effectual. It's working. To some degree, it's working. Now, next point is it would obey you. Jesus says it would obey you. It would obey you. That growth obeyed my wife. That cyst obeyed me, my words, me. Now, somebody says, well, where's God in all this? You are acting on the principles that he's established. This is how the God kind of faith works. But Brother Dan, you didn't ask God for nothing. You don't have to. It's one way of receiving, saying. It's how you got born again. If you confess Jesus is your Lord, you said, Jesus, you're my Lord. The greatest miracle took place. Amen. Thank God. It would obey you. If you have a problem with that, read this account 1,000 times and just take that certain section right out and meditate on it. And just start saying, it has to obey me. Jesus said it would obey me. It has to obey me. Finances, get in line in Jesus' name. Lack, go from me. Abundance, come to me in Jesus' name. My God's supplying my every need. I just spoke the truth. Speaking the truth in love, I'm growing up in him, believing he's my provider. And I'm falling apart here. Yeah, the clamp broke. Let me put this. I only do that when the anointing's on me. Well, you get the point. You'll get out of here and you'll go, it's got to obey me. It's got to obey me. This arthritis got to obey me. This arthritis got to obey me. That cyst had to obey me. It would obey you. Mark 11, 23 didn't say that. Didn't say nothing about obeying you. It says you'll have what it says. He says, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Luke's account says it'll obey you. In the account here, Unforgiveness has to obey you. When he used this account again, it was when he was dealing with the lunatic, when he cast the devil out of the lunatic. When the devil was cast out of the lunatic, Jesus made this statement in that account. That devil had to obey him. Now, the last thing in this account is, faith is your servant. Faith is your servant. Mark 11:23 doesn't say that. Faith is your servant. Jesus said, and will any of you, or any man of you, who has a servant, this is all in the context about increasing our faith, plowing or tending sheep, say to him. Now, he's using a natural illustration to get you to get a point across here. They had servants in those days. And if you had a servant, he had to do what you told him to do. When he come in from the field and came at once, take your place at the table, verse 8 says here, will he not instead tell him, get my supper ready and girt yourself and serve me? Now, he's making reference to this servant, which is faith. In other words, your servant, which is faith, should never rest.
Yeah, that's good.
Never rest. This is what he's saying here. If your servant's out in the field and he's plowing, he's attending sheep, and he comes in from the field and it's time to eat, dude, get the supper ready for me. You're the servant. They could relate to that. But he's tying this all in to the God kind of faith. Your faith is your servant. You never let it rest. It's out in the field. You're believing God to meet your needs, and all of a sudden you get attacked in your body. Well, what are you going to do then? Well, I don't want to really bother the Lord now because, you know, I got him on this project over here. Now, I want to tell you something. You might think that's funny, but I had a woman say that to me. She said, you know, there's a lot of issues going along in my life. If I would give them all over to the Lord, you know, he'd have so much to deal with. Well, face your servant. What are you going to do? I had to believe God for the message. Give me the message. Because a lot of people have heard these messages. We got time?
Yeah.
We still got time? I had to believe God for the message. What do you want me to say, Lord? What? You know, I got my servant out there. And my wife even said last night, aren't you done with your outline? And I said, no, because there's something I forgot, you know. But I was changing it because I'm listening. I'm believing God. So what I minister to you has life to it.
Yeah.
Amen.
So my servant's working. But my servant was also working in trusting God for my needs to be met. My wife, with the condition of that, with that growth, she was working her servant, which is faith. Never letting it rest. Never let it rest. How much time we have? 2 minutes. Okay. Well, we're going to have to just probably close there because there's some more accounts, but I'm hoping you're getting this point. Faith is always awakened when you hear the message. Once it's awakened, what are you going to do? There's only two ways that your faith is released, is in words and in action. You don't have to hear. I mean, if you would minister to the loss, and we'll take Billy Graham's crusades, for example, and Billy stood up there and says, people, you're going to have to come and come and come and sit and hear message after message after message about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus to get saved. You don't have to hear all the messages. You don't have to hear all those. You hear one.
Yeah, that's right.
He died. He rose again. His blood was shed for you. Will you receive him?
Amen.
Decision. Faith has been awakened in that person when you say that.
Amen.
Will you receive him? I've had him say yes. I've had him say no. I don't want no parts of it. But that's the decision of the individual. But they didn't have to hear message after message after message after message. So we'll just close right there because we got to start our service, but praise God.
Isn't the Lord good? Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. You know, I want to close it this way this morning. I just felt impressed in my spirit that the biggest tool that the enemy uses is guilt, condemnation, to make you feel somehow you're inferior to receive from God. Hear my words that I'm saying right now, because there's never been a time where I've prayed to ask God to do something for me that I hadn't had this thought come to my mind: you haven't read enough scripture, you haven't prayed long enough. In other words, you're insufficient. And for years I used to listen to that, until one day I realized, you know who's behind this mess is the devil, making me feel like a rat. You screwed up this week, you lost your temper this week, or whatever the case may be. You know what I'm saying? To make you feel, pound you down with guilt and condemnation so that you never release what you have. You know, when we speak, I love what Brother Dan was sharing about. Sometimes it's good to share things that you went through yourself, because other people are going through those things as well. You know, when he was dealing with the situation about release and forgiveness, you know. Well, our feelings don't want to feel like we're forgiving someone, but it's just a fact. Forgiveness is not a feeling, it's a fact. When you release somebody, you forgive somebody, you may still have the feelings attached to it. You know what I mean? You may still feel like you're in unforgiveness. But you go beyond your feelings and say, no, I forgive them in faith in the name of Jesus. Amen? And then we step into faith. Praise God. And I tell you what I'd like to do right now. Dan, why don't you lead us, the congregation, in a confession right now to receive divine healing. Praise God. And just draw the line in the sand today. We've heard enough messages through the years. Like I said, we've had boxes of teaching tapes and books and everything, you know. We have what it takes. It's not a knowledge problem.
It's not a knowledge.
It's a matter of acting on it.
It's acting.
It's just acting on it. Just believing it. Yeah. Just say, that's it. I'm receiving it today. Amen. Don't get a serious look on your face right now. Okay? Don't look like you're on jury duty right now. Like, this is deep.
Hey, you've been awakened.
Okay? All right? You got to get that serious look off your face, like concern. No,
right.
Get that off your face.
Right.
This is our time to receive. Amen.
Right. Just enter into his rest.
That's right.
The work's done. Amen. Faith is your servant. Amen. Let's just do it now. Yeah. Father, in the name of Jesus, just repeat after me. We'll make this decree. Father, I thank you that faith has been awakened.
Father, I thank you that faith has been awakened.
I thank you that I understand now.
I thank you that I understand now.
That the increase of faith comes by saying.
That the increase of faith comes by saying.
And I have faith.
And I have faith.
You've given me the measure of faith.
You've given me the measure of faith.
In the degree of my faith.
And the degree of my faith.
I begin to say.
I begin to say.
I am healed.
I am healed.
By the stripes of Jesus.
By the stripes of Jesus.
I command and demand.
I command and demand.
Any sickness.
Any sickness.
Any disease that has tried to come.
Any disease that has tried to come.
Against my body.
Against my body.
To get out.
To get out.
You must obey me.
You must obey me.
From the lips of Jesus.
From the lips of Jesus.
He says it would obey you.
He says it would obey you.
It would obey me.
It would obey me.
So get out of my body now.
So get out of my body now.
Satan.
Satan.
I bind you.
I bind you.
You have no part nor lot.
You have no part nor lot.
In God's work.
In God's work.
You're rendered harmless.
You're rendered harmless.
And ineffective.
And ineffective.
You're under my feet.
You're under my feet.
Now, Father, you said.
Father, you said.
Though the enemy come in one way.
Though the enemy come in one way.
You said he would flee.
You said he would flee.
Seven ways.
Seven ways.
I believe Satan is fleeing.
I believe Satan is fleeing.
I believe the enemy is being smitten before my face.
I believe the enemy is being smitten before my face.
The enemy of sickness and disease.
The enemy of sickness and disease.
Is bowing its knee.
Is bowing its knee.
Now in Jesus' name.
Now in Jesus' name.
I am healed.
I am healed.
Amen.
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 Let's give God glory this morning. Amen. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. It's working right now. It's working in you right now. Amen. This will cause us to really enjoy his presence this whole day. Amen. Praise God. We're going to go ahead and take a break, get started in a few minutes with our service. God bless.